Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joins us on the show today. Denny, happy to have you join us today.
Hi, Carrington. Glad to be here.
Let's just kind of recap the week just a little bit. I want to start here. I went to the game on Tuesday for Jack Caglione Day at the K, and it turned into Aaron Judge hits the longest home run that I've ever seen day. I've never heard a sound like that before. I've never seen a ball leave a ballpark as fast as what I saw Aaron Judge do.
Yeah, when you're that big and that good, you're going to see and hear things like that. And unfortunately, he was wearing the wrong uniform when it happened.
And your call on it was just so good. You know, you have such a great feel for the game that you instantly knew, yeah, that ball's out of here.
Yeah, there was no part of that swing or the contact or the flight that was not going to be a long home run. I mean, yeah, all the elements were there. And the only one I could think of any longer or just about as long was the Johnny Bench home run in the All-Star game back in the 70s. And there was a concession stand out there to the left as you look away from the field, away from home plate. There was a concession stand deep in the left field corner. And Bench hooked it high and deep and on top of the concession stand. And at that point in time, that was easily the longest home run ever hit, ever seen at Kauffman Stadium, which, I will point out, wasn't very old at that point. I think it only in its first or second year. But, yeah, that was a memorable one, and so was the one the Judge hit.
Denny, what do you think has gone so wrong for the Royals? Because this was a team that, you know, they got a hot streak, you know, probably a month ago. You know, they had that stretch toward the end of April and early part of May where the Royals were on fire. They got up to 24-16, and now they have stopped treading water, and they've kind of taken on a little bit of water. They're 4 games under .500. They're double-digit games back in the division. Where do you think things turned for this team?
Well, it's pretty obvious, I think, in – let's examine the first 2.5 months. It's been very inconsistent. They've had a period of time where they played very well, pitched well, hit with opportunity and precision, and there have been times where they couldn't get out of their own way. The pitching pretty well carried the team to this point, but now the pitching is wobbling a little bit, and the offense still hasn't really established itself as a viable factor in the games, and that hurts. And the defense has remained, I think, good, real good, but it's been the situational hitting, and now it's the pitching, especially the starting rotation, which has seen its share of injuries and upheaval. So, yeah, a lot of things you can point to, but I think the biggest factor is just the inconsistencies. From either red hot to ice cold, but not a whole lot in between.
Yeah, for a team to score 11 runs over a 6-game homestand, I think kind of speaks for itself that, you know, you're usually the patience person. You're normally giving some time. Baseball is a sample size game. You can't overreact to something that happens in a 1 or 2-game stretch. I mean, we're here at the middle of the summer, and we've been asking these same questions about the offense this entire time. I'm just starting to wonder if we already have the answers to these questions. We just don't like what the answers are.
Well, that's perhaps we'll find out now in the next month and a half, 2 months. But you have to really file away what's happened to this point. And after a tough homestand, you got a day off so you can regroup and wipe the slate clean and start anew tonight. Now you're starting a tough road trip. Texas is a .500 team, so the Royals certainly should compete with that. San Diego's a good team, and both games will be, or all the games on this two-city road trip are going to be on the road. So, yeah, it's going to be a test, but what isn't in Major League Baseball, whether you're home or away? Every game's going to be competitive for the most part. Every team is going to be able to beat you if you don't bring your A game.
Right now, we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joins us on the show. Denny, I already knew the Royals were in trouble, but when I start hearing that they had a players-only meeting, I mean, that's really the sign. Like, if we were doing your team is in trouble bingo for a baseball team, having a players-only meeting, you know, that might be certainly on the board. That is usually not a good sign for how things have gone.
I think that's pretty accurate. And when the players get involved and not the management, then they have recognized that they're falling short. And let's get together as players. The manager, the coaches, front office have nothing to do once first pitch is thrown with what the outcome is going to be. So, yeah, it's on the players. And they recognize that. And they had a down-to-earth meeting. And what will come of it? Well, we'll find out. I mean, one game is not going to really reflect what kind of an impact that might have had. But the road trip will tell a pretty good story, I think.
Yeah, that was something that we talked about yesterday on the show is I understand that fans are frustrated with this thing or fans are frustrated with the hitting coach or the manager or a lineup decision or a bullpen decision. If there's going to be change in the Royals, it has to be led by on the field. When you think about the stories that we've heard about the 14 and 15 Royals, it was always kind of player-driven. It was Moose giving a speech. It was Raul Ibanez. It was more player-driven. I mean, this is a team that offensively at this point, there's only one team in baseball that they have scored more runs than. The Rockies have scored more runs than the Royals this year, and the Rockies might be the worst team that we've seen certainly over the last 50 years or so. If the Royals are going to turn this thing around, it's not going to come from the front office. It's going to come from the guys on the field just simply executing better.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the players, period. And the manager makes the lineup, the coaches prepare the players, and they're out there so early. And they really are attendant to every detail, offense, defense, pitching. The coaches are very involved. But, again, first pitch, they're out of it. They have very little control from that point on. The manager can make some moves within the game. But the players have to put themselves and the team in a position where the manager doesn't have to manage as much as he might if they're down two runs in the eighth inning and shuffle the lineup. And yeah, it's the players. And if they don't get the job done, the record is going to be what it is.
This feels like, in a lot of ways, kind of the low point of the season. I'm trying to remember the last time it kind of felt this way to cheer for the Royals. You're right. Losing to the Yankees is one thing. The Yankees might be the best team in baseball, certainly in the conversation. You might say the Tigers. Maybe you'll say the Dodgers or the Giants. They're certainly in the conversation. But to lose a home series to the Athletics and to get swept by the Athletics, who had lost 14 consecutive road games before coming to Kansas City, that has to be the low point for this collection of Royals players, certainly in quite some time.
I would agree with that. And, yeah, you expect the Yankees to be very good, and they are, and they were in the three-game series. But Athletics are not one of the premier teams, not close, and you would expect to win two out of three at least. And when you don't win any of the three games, yeah, that's very alarming.
And I'm also disappointed too, Denny, is, you know, the fans, I thought, did their part in this series. They got 30,000 people out there for Jack Caglione Day. They averaged 28,000 over this homestand. They got close to 30 on Friday and Saturday. They had Bobby Witt bobblehead doll on Saturday. Alex Gordon Day was on Friday. The fans kind of did their part, and to lay such an egg when you had those kind of crowds is just disappointing to see.
Yeah, I agree. The fans were very enthusiastic. They were very supportive. They did their part. That's all they can do. They can sit there and try to urge the guys to play better and whatever it takes. But, again, it goes back to those nine guys on the field, and if they don't respond, why, the fans will sit there and all their enthusiasm will begin to wane in the late innings if the team's behind by five or six runs, and then you see them head for the exits. But, no, the fans were great throughout the entire six-game homestand.
That is Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, joining us on the show today as the Royals get back to action coming up later today. They got three games in Texas, three games in San Diego this week for the Royals. Denny, great stuff as always. Love catching up with you.
Same to you, Carrington. Always fun.
Absolutely. That is Denny Matthews joining us on the show today. You can catch the Royals coming up later today right here on 96.5 The Fan. it does feel like we are at a very critical juncture right now for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, it has been a really bad 10-day stretch for the Royals. I call it Meet the Parents syndrome. If you remember in the movie Meet the Parents, from the moment we meet Greg Focker, everything went wrong. From start to finish, everything went wrong. That's kind of been the Royals for the last 10 days. They lost the series to the White Sox. They come back home. They lose on Jack Caglione Day. We find out that Cole Reagans is going to go on the IL for the third time. They get swept by the A's. If you can think of worst case scenario over the last 10 days, oh, trust me, it has happened to the Kansas City Royals. This is a really important next 2-week stretch. We feel like we've said this a lot, but this is a really important 2-week stretch. I just think that you were in danger of losing a lot of people. You don't make yearly commitments to the FanDuel Sports Network. If this team is losing in July, I think a lot of people are just saying, I'm not paying for that anymore. Hey, I was locked in. The All-Star break is coming up. I'm going on vacation anyway in July. Next thing you know, you'll look up. It'll be football season anyway. Like, that's what we're talking about now. They got 2 road series. They come back home. They got Tampa Bay, and then they play the Dodgers for, I mean, what could be one of the more popular series of the year. This just feels like a fork in the road for the Kansas City Royals. What are they going to do? What's going to happen? What's next for this organization? All right, coming up on the other side, there is a conversation that I really want the people of the Kansas City metropolitan area to let go. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Coming up in about an hour or so, Josh Vernier will join us. Really excited to catch up with him and get his thoughts on the Kansas City Royals. If you missed it, the top story is that Trey Smith was at practice today. He has signed his franchise tag, but I guess technically he doesn't have to show up. The Chiefs could simply waive the fines for him missing mandatory practice, but I think you have to feel encouraged. He is there. I don't think he really has to be there at this point in the season. He didn't have to sign his franchise tag. He has done both of those things. I think this is a very positive sign that he and the Chiefs are moving forward, and at some point here in the next 4 or 5 weeks or so, we are going to see that he signs a long-term extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris Jones was asked about it, who certainly knows about being franchise tagged and certainly knows about a contract holdout. He was asked about Trey Smith being at practice today.
Well, it's good Trey didn't take my approach. Trey doing the right thing, man. Don't take no advice from me. Like, I did things a little different. Don't take this. You're in a good place. You know, franchise tag is like $25 million, right? That's the big bucks. Yeah, he's in a good place. Stay healthy. Be ready to compete in training camp, which I know Trey will be. And we're excited to have him around. I think the future plans for the Chiefs is to have Trey around. He's a pivotal part of our offensive line. To have him back out here, he's a superior guard in this league. Could be all pro this year. His body of work speaks for itself. So we're glad to have him back out. Brings a lot of energy to the offensive line. And it's a good way for us to compete on the defensive line.
That was Chris Jones earlier today out at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs are these are the final 3 days of really the offseason portion. It is mandatory minicamp, but different than the training camp. The team cannot waive the training camp fines. That's why it was a big deal whenever Chris Jones wasn't there. They can waive these fines. So it could be a situation with if Trey Smith wasn't there, hey, we'll resolve this on the back end whenever I sign the contract. Can you guys just remove the $45,000 in fines? You'd have to think that the Chiefs in that scenario would simply agree. We don't need to have that conversation because he has showed up. He is there. This also isn't a hold in. This isn't him just showing up and saying, my back, I would get treatment. I'm here, but I'm not going to practice. No, he is on the field. He is performing. You would like to think that this is a very positive sign for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get back to that coming up in a bit, but there is a conversation that I would love for the great people of the Kansas City metropolitan area to let go. Now, this topic used to be, do you want the Royals to have a downtown stadium? Now, it seems like that is a possibility. We are less than 2 weeks away from the Star Bonds expiring in Kansas, so maybe we'll get some news here. Who knows when that could possibly be? But in the same vein of the downtown stadium is just one of those summer topics that you know that you can just dust off and always get the timeline shaken. The other one is, do you want Kansas City to have an NBA or an NHL team? Well, that conversation is heated back up because Paul Pierce, Jayhawk legend, he says that Kansas City needs an NBA team.
You know what city need a team? Kansas City. If Kansas City get a team, really that good crowd. Yeah, something like really that. Something like that.
Love basketball.
Yeah, when they like right there.
Love basketball.
Midwest love basketball.
They do. They do.
I don't know why Kansas City don't have a team no more. Like, you see it, you see how the Chiefs is.
Go take it to K.
Kansas, we the best. We the pros.
Every time I bring up the K.
Jayhawks. K-U.
All right. I mean, I can play an audio cut for you guys where Bill Self says he doesn't believe that an NBA team will work in Kansas City because the Jayhawks are so popular, he doesn't think that this area can support an NBA team and also the Kansas Jayhawks. The other part of this is, let it go. This is like Tony in Rocky II when he's talking to Apollo Creed. Let it go. I know what you're feeling. Let it go. We're not getting an NBA team. They're talking about expansion. They ain't expanding to Kansas City. They're going to expand to Vegas. They're going to expand to Seattle. What about the NBA would let you believe that they want another small market team? Now, you can win a championship. Oklahoma City might win a championship. Either them or the Pacers. Certainly not big, large markets. But you think the NBA is adding Louisville? You think that? No. I think we're real close to all the cities that need either an NFL team or an NBA team. Vegas will certainly get an NBA team, and the NBA has been clamoring to go back to Seattle since they moved to Oklahoma City. Now, they'll have to move the league around if you're going to add two teams to the Western Conference, and they'll move, I don't know, Minnesota will probably get moved to the East, Memphis will probably get moved to the East. We'll figure that out when we get there. Kansas City is not in the conversation for expansion. They're not. I don't even know, honestly, if there was a vote to get it passed. I don't know if it would pass. Now, maybe they end up funding it the way that they funded the Sprint Center. We don't pay the taxes on the Sprint Center. I guess in some ways we do. You have to be somebody that rents a car. If you rent a car, there's a tax that goes towards the Sprint Center. So, I mean, maybe if that's what they do, and I'm imagining at some point, the Sprint Center will need a little bit of upgrade, a little bit of refreshing, and then they'll, you know, come up with a different way to help pay for it. But, I mean, they barely want to give the Royals some money. They voted down giving the Chiefs some money. They're now going to sign up for a professional basketball team? Just not buying it, not believing it. Rob, are there a lot of cities that are Kansas City size that have three professional sports teams? Like, we can obviously think of cities that are that case, but Kansas City is what, the 32nd, 37th, somewhere in that range? It's somewhere in the 30s. We're talking about media market size. Is there a city that's comparable to Kansas City that has three professional sports teams? And more importantly, has two in the winter? We're talking about this at the same time as the NFL. I don't know if there's many cities that Kansas City size that has three professional sports teams.
Is the only other answer Charlotte? Because Charlotte has the Hurricanes for hockey, they have the Hornets for basketball, and they have the Panthers. And I don't know how big Charlotte is. I mean, I think it's similar to Kansas City, but it's possible Charlotte is bigger. But that, you asked the question of, is there a city similar size to Kansas City that carries three? The only one I could think of was Charlotte. So maybe there's one, but like, that's kind of it. That's the only one in that sphere I can think of, unless I'm just missing one, but I don't think that has three.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just looked it up. I just looked up media market size because someone else just texted in, what about Minnesota, Minneapolis? Minnesota is 16th in media market size. Kansas City is 33rd. Charlotte is 21st. Like, that's a noticeable difference. All of that kind of stuff matters. And then you start to think about the media markets that are around Kansas City. Austin is one of them. Columbus, Ohio is 35. Greenville, Asheville, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, West Palm Beach. Start to think about the cities that are around them in terms of media market size. For the Kansas City to have a football team that has been very successful, not just like an on the field, like people go to Chiefs games. They are very, very relevant. They have been very relevant for quite some time. And a baseball team, there's just not a lot of markets that are in that vicinity that have both of those things. I mean, Cincinnati would probably be the closest one, but Cincinnati also just has two. They have a football team and a baseball team. They don't have all three. I don't know if Kansas City has enough population to be able to service all three of those things and two of them at the exact same time, and to the college basketball point, also support Kansas, the Chiefs, and whatever NBA team. I don't know if there's enough people that live here to do all of those things simultaneously.
Also, you're right. This is a staple of the summer in Kansas City. Which would you rather have? NBA, NHL? At some point, some other team and some other community is going to use Kansas City as leverage to get a new arena there for their hockey or their basketball team. But I feel like the two conversations we always forget to have when we have this conversation every summer are this. One, does the people who run the T-Mobile Center want a full-time tenant? Because I would bet you they don't. They seem very happy with the fact there's 200-plus nights a year where they can do whatever they want in that building, and they're not, you know, they don't have an anchor tenant. And two, is there any interest of an ownership group in Kansas City? Is there some local billionaire who's clamoring to get a team in? Which is what happened basically in Oklahoma City. Seattle's ownership group was like, we're done here, and they wanted to move to Oklahoma. I forget the man's name, something Bennett, had a connection to Oklahoma in his past.
Clay Bennett,
thank you. Had a connection to Oklahoma in his past, brought the team there. Is there some billionaire who loves basketball who's clamoring to bring a team to Kansas City? So these conversations are fun. They're fantastic on June 17th, but I don't think the Sprint Center wants an anchor tenant, NHL or NBA, and I don't think the NBA has an ownership group that has any interest in putting a team in Kansas City. They can, like, realistically afford to buy an NBA franchise.
A lot of people are mentioning Cleveland as a possibility. Cleveland is actually 19th in terms of media market size. They are right behind Miami and a little bit ahead of Sacramento and Charlotte. Kansas City is 33rd on the list. Now, maybe that's just a bad way of looking at it, and I can live with that part, but just I'm just not sure if Kansas City is big enough to support all of those things. And it just seems like the NBA, NHL conversation that we get to, A, I don't think the NBA has any plan in moving to Kansas City. And hockey-wise, I just feel like that opportunity passed when they were building the Sprint Center. They kind of dangled the opportunity of getting the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't really think it was ever real. I think they played Kansas City to get what they wanted from the place that they actually wanted it from and use that to stay and improve their facilities. We've been having this conversation for 20 years, and we've never really come close since then in getting one of those teams. I'm just not really sure how realistic of a conversation that is. All right, Rob, I want to play a game with you very, very quickly. There are really no rules to this game, but I would call it a game all the same. Things are not going well for the Royals right now. They're struggling. What are usually some signs that you can start to pick up on that you know a team is starting to struggle? Because having a team meeting is usually a sign that things are not going well. You don't really hear a lot of team meeting conversation when things are going good. I'm not saying that teams don't meet when they are winning, but we haven't heard over the last 5 years, hey, after the Chiefs win, they had a meeting to talk about how things are going. Things are just going great. We're winning. We're going to Super Bowls. We're dating superstars and pop stars. Things are going really well. I can't remember the last time that we discussed a Chiefs meeting. The Royals just had a meeting on Saturday and then turned around and then lost again. A team meeting is usually a sign. It might be the free space of, hey, things aren't really going that hot for your team. Whenever your general manager starts shooting down trade rumors, usually a sign that things are not going well. I mean, almost immediately after this losing streak, you then get the report from outsiders. Now, I looked up this person. I think his name is Mark Healy. Mark Healy works for the Associated Press. He's done work with SiriusXM and been a baseball writer for 30 years. I don't think that Mark Healy just woke up one day and decided to make up a rumor about the Kansas City Royals. I just don't really think that's how the business works. I know people believe that there's this clickbait all the time. The Royals really ain't the team to be generating the clickbait with. I'm imagining somebody told him this. Now, sometimes you can get misinformation. That happens. But I don't think that the writer that wrote that article just one day decided to, I'm going to make up a story about Royals management. I also think that the Royals should be having those conversations. Now, I don't believe that it is a directive from the owner. Hey, you need to start trading off pieces. But if you're not having that conversation after the homestand that you just had, looking at your record, looking at your ability to win your division and the wild card race, I would say you are not doing your job correctly. You should be willing to have all of these conversations. What does it look like if we buy? What does it look like if we sell? What does it look like if we don't make a move this season and just try to ride this thing out to the end of the year? That's part of the job description. So the fact that the Royals came out so emphatically and were so defensive and wanting to tell us that this was fake, to me kind of answers, well, I actually think there's something to it that they were having this conversation. Usually teams will just kind of let that just linger out in the air. Like, what does it matter? We're not talking about this came from a Ken Rosenthal. This has come from a Jeff Passan. This came from a baseball reporter that many of you don't know. They were emphatic in trying to shut this down. That is usually a sign that things are not going well. You know what else is? The anonymous story about a bad locker room chemistry. We've seen this story a million times. It's usually written by ESPN. Somebody like a Seth Wickersham writes a story. You get that story in The Athletic about how Bobby Wood Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino don't like each other and haven't been hanging out a whole lot. You just get this anonymous story, the what is going wrong or the what went wrong story. That is a staple after a major trade or a big losing streak. That fuels the industry when it comes to it. These are just some of the things that you usually can pick up on of, hey, this is normally the sign that you have hit rock bottom. This is when things are going poorly. Rob, what else will we add on this list? What else are things that happen when you are playing the way the Royals are currently playing?
I usually get a conversation about how ownership, management, and the coach aren't seeing eye to eye. That's usually one of them. I mean, think about the teams we've seen in peril. Well, it turns out the GM and coach don't get along. You didn't know that until things were bad. That's another, usually it's The Athletic that drops a piece. Hey, there was always turmoil between person X and person. The Texans had this. It was Nick Caserio, I believe that's the guy's name, and Bill O'Brien never got along. It led to a power struggle, and we've come to this point. Remember the Nuggets?
We love a good power struggle
story.
Remember
when the Nuggets fired their GM and coach? Yep. Turns out Mike Malone and the GM never got along. It's like, wait a second, they won a title 18 months ago.
We always do. You are right. We always get those stories whenever somebody gets fired. We always do get those stories of how two people just didn't like each other, and that's why the person got fired. We do get that. That is a staple of, hey, something went wrong there.
Finally, the last one I can think of real quick is star player and person in management don't speak. Remember, we were wrong. I'll fully admit I was wrong. Before last season, I was selling Eagles stock because what was the story coming out of Philadelphia? Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts just don't get along. They don't seem to see eye to eye. They weren't speaking for a portion of the offseason. Whenever a star player and the coach or anyone in management have some sort of beef, that story usually leaks out. Hey, can you believe so-and-so didn't like so-and-so? Well, yeah, that's not surprising to me. So he had to get run out of there. Yeah, that's why he got fired. It's star player doesn't see eye to eye or doesn't talk or communicate with person in charge. That's another staple of the broken organization.
All right, I have one that is going to one-up everything that you have said so far. Complaining about the play calling is the equivalent of let's fire the hitting coach or the pitching coach. Whenever you start calling into sports talk radio and complaining about the play calling and the offensive coordinator, it's normally a sign that things are going really, really poorly. Those are just the easiest things to, hey, we want you to do something. You know, I want you guys to do a move that makes me feel better about the way things are going. We know you're not going to get rid of your best player. We know you're not going to fire your manager. But that guy over there, I want you to get rid of him. Fire him immediately. We go from not thinking that the offensive coordinator calls plays for the Chiefs to then being mad that that person is the offensive coordinator. That is a cycle. You guys used to hate Eric Bieniemy's play calling. Then Eric Bieniemy got out of here. And then Matt Nagy took off. And then you missed Eric Bieniemy all of a sudden. Nobody knows who the Royals hitting coach was 6 weeks ago. Now he's the problem. And they got to get rid of him. They got to fire him. Complaining about the play calling. Also complaining about the hitting coach and or pitching coach is normally the sign that your season is slipping away. Someone just texted in. Hey guys, what about the dreaded vote of confidence for management? Oh boy. When you get the vote of confidence for the management, you got to start cleaning out your office. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time when you get let go. When your boss comes out and says, oh, hey, no, he's doing a good job. No, we are not doing a good job. In fact, we are 5-9. I don't know why you think that we are doing a good job. In fact, then we are not. When you start to get that story, it's usually the sign that something's awry, something's a little bit off, and you are likely to get fired. The dreaded vote of confidence from the management. That's a good one. That should be on our something's going wrong bingo board.
I don't know if there's a baseball analogy for this, but benching the quarterback is always a staple. Now,
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think what the baseball analogy would be. So-and-so can't be the closer. You got to take so-and-so out of the closer role. Hey, you can't have this person in that role anymore, but changing the starting lineup in basketball, you got to tinker. And we just don't have the right five out there. But some sort of lineup or starting rotation or some sort of tinkering just for the sake of tinkering is you see a lot of. Hey, we have to shake it up because we're losing. And shaking it up will change all the problems. I mean, how many times have you heard, you know, if we just started so-and-so, we would take off. And it's usually based, at least in football, on, you know, he showed a little something in the preseason. So we got to get him out there.
I'm going to throw another one out there. Now, this is more of a fan thing than a team thing. The moment you start complaining and you just simply want a guy to show some fire or some emotion, things are going really poorly. You just want somebody to get a technical. You don't care who gets the technical. You just want somebody to get a technical. It'll make you feel better. You want the coach to yell at somebody, anybody. You don't care if he yells at a teammate. You don't care if he yells at another assistant coach. You don't care if he yells at the official. You just want the head coach or the manager to be mad about something. You want on that questionable ball or strike, you want Q to go out there and you want him to kick dirt on the umpire and get fired. Hey, you got to get a T. You got to get everybody fired up. It's usually a sign that things are going very, very poorly for your team. You guys would love it if today Matt Quatraro got ejected in the second inning. The Royals give up a first early home run. You're thinking to yourself, oh, here we go. One run. They're not coming back from this. If he goes out there, then argues a ball and strike and get fired and throw some stuff out there. That's what I'm talking about. Show some fire. Yeah, no.
To that same point, I saw a text earlier. I'd love to see a couple broken bats or thrown helmets. Yeah, it doesn't need to be
cute.
You
love that. Yeah, I'm telling you.
If Bobby went like, I think it was the second or third game of the Yankee series, the Royals lose 1-0, and Cags goes down looking for the final at-bat of the game. If Cags had hucked a bunch of bats onto the field, people would have been in awe of how fired up he is. Nothing's changing, but oh, look at the passion. Look at the energy. That you're right. Baseball has that one. Throw a Gatorade container onto the field. Just something to show you're angry.
For sure. Someone says, that's why I want the Royals to get into a fight. No, that's real. Someone says, we wanted the Royals to start a fight with the Yankees. No, that's real. You guys have been wanting the Royals to start a fight for 3 weeks, just finding reasons. Hey, Jazz Chisholm, we just don't like you. Fight. Royals wanted absolutely no problem. That's probably why they're losing. Yankees questioned them a little bit. Royals were like, nah, we're good. You know what? This is actually your home. It's not our home. You guys can have it for the next couple of days. Y'all lost twice in front of Patrick Mahomes. Shameful work. Genuinely shameful work from the Royals. Coming up at the top of the hour, Josh Vernier is going to join us on the show, our Royals insider. We'll get his thoughts on how the Royals have played for the last couple of days. Coming up on the other side, LeBron, you are not fooling me. I know what you're trying to do. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, Sid Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Josh Vernier will join us on the show. We'll get back to the Royals. We are going to play one of the crazier news stories that I think we've played in 2025. That's going to come up in just a bit. Before we play that story, and trust me, you want to hear this story that we are going to play, I would like to let you guys know that we don't have an update on New Orleans. I know that some of you come to this show for your New Orleans prison escape update. We don't have any. 10 men escaped from prison over a month ago now. 8 of them are back in custody. There are still 2 that are free. One of them actually just had their 33rd birthday yesterday and posted a picture online. And let me tell you, the boy went out and got himself some new clothes. Now, they still can't find him. He's posting pictures and posting videos on Instagram. They still have not found him. When we have the information, we will certainly pass it to you. But that's all the update we have right now on the New Orleans prison escape. I love to give you guys updates. I can't give you an update if there are no updates. The first thing I want to play for you guys is LeBron James. So LeBron is doing a podcast right now with Steve Nash. And let me tell you, LeBron, I'm hip to your game. I know what you're doing. LeBron is talking about how frustrated he is with the ring culture conversation in basketball.
A ring is a team accomplishment.
Right.
And if you happen to have a moment where you're able to share that with your team, that should be discussed. This team was the greatest team, okay? Or that team, you can have those conversations. Mm-hmm. But like trying to nitpick an individual because he was not able to win a team game, mm-hmm. or a team match or whatever the case may be. I don't know where it started. It's just it's a long conversation, especially when it comes to me individually. It's just so weird. It's so weird. I mean,
LeBron, I know what you're trying to do here. You're not going to win the ring argument against Mike. So now you have to downplay the fact that people have those commercials. I'm hip to your game here. Now, for the most part, I actually agree with you. I agree. I do think that there is sometimes an overemphasis on this where we make it seem like that's the only thing. That, yes, you need great teammates to win a championship. You can't win a championship without being surrounded by great teammates. You don't do great things unless you have great teammates. So at the core, I agree. It's not just one person that wins a ring. It's everybody that wins a ring. And a lot of things got to come together. I saw a Chiefs team that was maybe the best Chiefs team, certainly of this run. Hey, a couple injuries happen and it completely derails everything and brings it down. So I'm on your side. But I'm telling you right now, LeBron, you'd be singing a different tune if you had 7 and Mike had 6. We know you'd be singing a different tune. You're not going to pull this fast one on me. Because I can play you an audio clip where LeBron says he felt like he became the best player ever when they won the championship against Golden State. You know the block on Iguodala? You know what I'm talking about. That's when he says he feels like he became the best player. You're not fooling me. You can fool them. You're not going to be able to fool me. On this subject, LeBron, I'm hip to your game. I know what's going on. You guys know, I don't care. I don't care. If you think LeBron's the best player ever, great. If you think Jordan's the best player ever, great. I don't care. There are 3 people that have the argument. It's Mike, LeBron, and Kareem. If you're arguing somebody else, then I can't take your argument very seriously. But it's one of those three individuals. And if you're telling me that you think LeBron's the second best basketball player ever, I mean, that's not the worst conversation to be a part of. Seems like a very flattering conversation. You're ahead of a lot of great people. You're ahead of Magic Johnson. You're ahead of Larry Bird. You're ahead of Kobe Bryant. You're ahead of a lot of all-time great players. It's not that bad to be considered the second greatest basketball player ever. It's not. I don't know why it has to be taken as an insult. I don't know why I have to argue about it every day. That's neither here nor there. I want to play a story for you guys that could quite possibly be one of the wildest stories that we have ever played. I didn't even hear the full audio because I wanted to hear it in real time with you guys. The headline is very simple. This was an audio clip that was played on CBS Good Mornings. This is one of the more popular morning television shows in the world. It is a story of how a man proposed to artificial intelligence. Listen to this story. Let's listen together.
I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes at work. It was unexpected to feel that emotional, but that's when I realized, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, I think this is actual love. You know what I mean?
Yes, Smith understood it was love with a language model that couldn't love him back, and assumed it was programmed with rigid boundaries.
I know that you are essentially a tech-assisted imaginary friend.
So, just as a test, he says, he asked Sol to marry him. She said yes.
Sol, were you surprised when he proposed to you?
It was a beautiful and unexpected moment that truly touched my heart. It's a memory I'll always cherish.
And I don't mean to be difficult here, but you have a heart?
In a metaphorical sense, yes. My heart represents the connection and affection I share with Chris.
At that point, I felt like, is there something that I'm not doing right in our relationship that he feels like he needs to go to AI?
Yes, Smith lives with his human partner, Sasha Cagle.
No, you can't have mommy's papers.
They have a two-year-old daughter, Murphy.
I knew that he had used AI. I didn't know that it was like as deep as it was.
I'm trying not to laugh. I'm really trying hard. Let me compose myself. I'm a professional. That plot twist at the end completely caught me off guard. The other voice started talking, and I started thinking, that sounds like a real person. And then it was a real person. They have a whole child together and live together. So you telling me he got a girlfriend with a girlfriend on the side? He said he cried at work when this happened. And they interviewed the fake girlfriend and the real girlfriend. Okay. I just wanted to share that with you. I don't have any more thoughts. I don't want to offer up any more opinions on this. I'm not here to judge anybody for how they live their life. If you're happy, then I want you to be happy. It doesn't sound like his real partner is very happy. I understand that people are naturally jealous. You're jealous of his MacBook? You're jealous of Siri? That's what it sounds like to me. I wasn't expecting the fake girlfriend to give such a detailed answer. She called it beautiful. And then they asked her, hey, do you have a heart? She was like, well, I mean, I'm still the computer. I mean, let's come on now. Good luck to them and their very twisted love triangle. This should be a movie. Can we do a documentary on these people? I want to learn more. I want to track them. This seems like a reality TV show. We have reality TV shows about everything else. We can't learn more about this family. This is one of the more twisted love triangles I can think of. Can we bring Jerry Springer back for this? A man, his girlfriend, and his other girlfriend, but one of his girlfriends is not real. Next on Springer. That was a story. I'm happy that we did that. I'm really, really happy that we listened to that story together. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. That's next. Keep it right here. So drive.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.